Well, this morning we're going to talk about Christmas, a portrait of God, a portrait of God. We see a lot about the Lord Jesus, about our God, in the Christmas story. We read this morning at the beginning of the service from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. We read some of the account of the Christmas story there, but right now we're in the Gospel of John and chapter 3. If you would notice verse 17. John chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So, question: when Jesus came, did he come to condemn us? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So did Jesus come to condemn us? No. No, he didn't. The fact of the matter is we already were condemned, right? He came to save us. He came to save us from our sin. He came to pay the price for our sins so that we could be cleansed, so that we could have eternal life. You're in John chapter 3, we read verse 17, but now let's back up to the next verse, which is pretty familiar to you, verse 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So, Christmas is all about God's love for us, and God giving his Son so that we could be saved. And so it's a beautiful thing. And we're going to think about the portrait of Christmas. What does Christmas tell us about God? What kind of a picture does Christmas paint us for God? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that we see a God of compassion. Let's say that together. In Christmas, we see a God of compassion. All right? Christmas, we see a God of compassion. And so, God loves us. And the Bible tells us he gave his only begotten Son because he loved us. He came, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 tells us in that passage, he says that he came to save his people from their sin. Came to save his people from their sin. I would like you to go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and let's begin with verse 8. Luke chapter 2, and this is an account of the Christmas story here as well. Chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible tells us that there were in the same country, that is near Bethlehem there, and Christ having been born in a stable, and in the same country, there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Okay, think about that. Good tidings of great joy. The angels talking to the shepherds on the hillside. And they said, "We bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Does that include you? You see, Christmas is a wonderful thing because it reminds us how much God loves us. We have a God of compassion. When we look at the Christmas story, we see a God who cared enough to come to where we are because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, right? And so in God's love, he came to bring us salvation, a God of compassion. Notice verse 11, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," what? What does your Bible say? "A Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Born unto us is a Savior. God loves you. You know, As we go through life, life's tough. Life is hard. I mean, it's got many difficulties. But I want you to remember, as you think about Christmas, Christmas isn't about, you know, trying to get big gifts and all of that. It's fine to celebrate by giving gifts and receiving gifts, and that's good. But let's not forget the greatest gift. The greatest gift wasn't a toy tractor or a cool car or a new pair of boots. The greatest gift God gave, and it is His Son, Jesus Christ. And so when we think about Christmas, I want you to remember God is a God of compassion. He's a God of compassion. Two things: His amazing love for sinners. The Bible tells us that He loves sinners. That's good, because we're all sinners. God loves sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we see His unfailing mission of salvation. The Christmas story about Christ being born in a manger is the beginning of God's plan of redemption. Jesus came, He lived a sinless life, and then He would die on the cross 33 years later. He would give His life. And Christmas is the beginning of that. An unfailing plan of salvation. Let's notice a second thing, all right? At Christmas, not only do we see a God of compassion, but help me now, we see a God of the
impossible.
So, first of all, let's review. In Christmas, we see a God of, first of all, a God of compassion. All right, let's say that again. First of all, we see a God of compassion. Secondly, we see a God of the impossible. The impossible. You know what? God can do the impossible. I can't. I'm pretty limited in what I can do. You know, I need God. God can do the miraculous. God can work in situations that are impossible and bring about good things. And you know, sometimes we get in our life in situations where we feel like, how is this ever going to work out? This doesn't make sense, and it's impossible. But you know what? All things are possible with God. The Christmas story. Christ coming to this earth. Not only a God of compassion, that He had an unfailing love for us. Amazing love for sinners. An unfailing mission of salvation. But in the God of the impossible, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I want you to see some of the impossibilities. The Bible says in Matthew 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." This is how it happened. "When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," or was engaged to Joseph, "before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Wow. This is amazing. We see here, and we'll look a little further, that Mary was a virgin. She had never had intimate relationships with any man. And they weren't married yet, and they were seeking to honor God. And all of a sudden, in God's plan, of course, Mary is with child. I want you to notice another verse here in Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at verse 20. It says about Joseph. Joseph hears about the fact that Mary is having a baby, and he is very confused about what's going on and very concerned. Notice verse 20. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Wow. So the child that Mary is carrying was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, God miraculously placed Jesus as a baby in Mary's womb. It's a miracle. It's supernatural. It's not humanly possible. Jesus did not have an earthly father. Joseph certainly filled that role, but Joseph was not biologically Jesus' father. And we have the miracle as well, not only of the virgin birth, notice, the miracle of the virgin birth, that Jesus was miraculously placed in Mary's womb. And I'll read another verse, verse 23. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." And the Bible tells us what that name means. What does it mean? God with us. God with us. God with us? You see, the amazing thing is not only that God miraculously conceived Jesus in Mary's womb without an earthly father, but the other part is not only the virgin birth, but that he's the God-man. We have God with us. We have God, the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The Bible tells us that Jesus was active in creation. This is, what, 4,000 years later? And Jesus left heaven and became a human, became a man, a human being. But he wasn't an ordinary human being. He was 100% God, and yet he became 100% man. The God-man. I mean, he was God, but he was a real man. Before the world was, he was. But now he became one of whom the creation he had made in his image. Why? Well, it goes back to his love. For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten son. God loves us. And here we are, you know, 2,000 years after the fact of the Christmas story. And God is still loving people. And he still knows where you are. And he knows the challenges of your life. And he knows your need for the Savior. And God loves you. And he calls us to trust him. Christmas is a time to trust God. It's a wonderful time to put our trust in him to save us, if we haven't. To trust him as our Savior, for he came to save. He came to save us from our sin. And so we see that he is a God of the impossible. He can save your soul. He can save your soul. He can give you eternal life. If you trust him, he will save you. For he is a God of the impossible. So a God of compassion, a God of the impossible. And thirdly, I would like you to notice this morning, we see a God of his word. A God of his word. When he gives his word, he will do it. He will do it. He will keep his word. The promises he's made to us, he will keep. And we see at Christmas, we see many promises that he fulfilled. All right? I want you to understand that he makes clear promises. Let's look at some of the Christmas story to see what some folks said then in that day. So let's go to Luke chapter 1. The beginning of Matthew and the beginning of Luke are primarily where the Christmas story is found. And let's go to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to see some things that Mary said after learning that she was going to be with child. And she blesses the name of the Lord. Notice Luke chapter 1, verse 46. "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And let's go down a little bit to verse 54. 54, it says, "He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers." Notice verse 55. "As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And so Mary says, God has done what he said he would do. He has kept his promise. He has fulfilled his word. Notice also in verse 70, Luke chapter 1, verse 70, it says, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, this is Zechariah now attesting that God is faithful to keep his word. He says, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that he should save us from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. And so, Zechariah says, hey, God is doing what he said he would do. He has kept his word. And you know what? We could look through the Bible and see prophecies after prophecy that are fulfilled by Jesus. And you know what? There are still some things in the Bible that are not yet fulfilled. There are some prophecies. This afternoon, we're going to be studying in Revelation. And much of Revelation, some of it has been fulfilled, but most of Revelation has not yet taken place. But it will. It will. We need to trust God. You know, as we think about the story of Christmas, it paints a picture of who God is. He's a God of compassion. He loves us. He's a God of the impossible. You got impossible situations? God is a God who can do the impossible. He responds to prayer. He can not only save you, but he can give you victory in your life. And that's what he wants to do in each of our lives. And then we can see he's a God of his word. He's a God of his word. He will keep his word. You know, wouldn't it be important for us to get to know his word better? The better we know his word, the better we can stand on his word. The better we can claim those promises in our daily life, in the challenges we face, in the difficulties of our life, we can depend on what he has said, for he will be faithful. He makes clear promises in his word. And I want you to also see that he's faithful to perform them. He makes clear promises, and he is faithful to perform them. Let's notice Titus chapter 1. Notice verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You see, God has made promises to us. His plan of salvation, he says that we can trust him. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can trust God and be saved. God wants us to be saved. That's why he came. That's why he gave his son. But we can trust God in daily life. We can trust him to provide for our needs. We can trust him to give us wisdom in challenging situations. We can trust him with our children. We can trust him in every aspect of daily life. And God wants us to depend on him. So remember, Christmas tells us a lot about God. We've looked at just a few aspects this morning about what Christmas tells us about God, the portrait it paints who God is. He's a God, first of all, he is a God of compassion. He loves us. Secondly, he's a God of the impossible. He can do the impossible. He can save our soul. He can deliver us. He can help us to walk with him. He can give us victory. And one day, he will take us to be with him forever. We can trust him with life's greatest challenges because he is a God who answers prayer, who responds to faith. And we notice, thirdly, that he's a God of his word. We need to get to know what he has said better. The better we know it, the better we can trust it. The better we can claim it and stand on it and live it. Because God will be faithful to his word. And so, let us depend upon the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that the Christmas story is telling us about yourself. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to draw closer to you this Christmas, and that our faith would grow, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, that we would respond with faith to what you teach us, that we would walk closer to you. For we know that if we draw near to you, you promise to draw near to us. And Lord, if there's any that don't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would recognize the great love you have, your plan of salvation, and that with simple faith, they would depend on you to save their soul and give them everlasting life. Thank you that you've loved us with an everlasting love and that you've drawn us to yourself. Please bless. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.